Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. We've been doing a series of lectures from Hayat al-Sahaba, which is a book written by Sheikh Yusuf al-Alwi. It's a compilation of stories from the lives of the Sahaba. And basically, we've been covering a lot of different subjects from that. Today's subject, inshallah, it is called Ad-Da'watu ila al-Fara'id. This is the subject, the heading, and it means to call people towards the fara'id and the obligations. So the trend from the Prophet ﷺ was that he used to call people towards the things which were obligatory first, and he used to give them priority. And we will see from the stories that we hear that the wisdom behind calling the Sahaba and the people who became new Muslims in an organized way was so that they could learn slowly and slowly and then put it into practice and implement it. So we're going to hear a few stories, inshallah, about this issue. It's narrated from Jarir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. He says, بَعَثَ إِلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ فَقَالَ يَا جَرِيرْ لِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ جِئْتْ قُلْتُ أُسْلِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Jarir ibn Abdullah narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent for me and he said that, O Jarir, why did I come here? Why did I come here? Or it could mean that, why did you come here? لِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ جِئْتُ or لِأَيِّ شَيْءٍ جِئْتَ. قُلْتُ, I said, أُسْلِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْكَ, so that I can become a Muslim on your hands, O Prophet of Allah. قَالْ فَأَلْقَى عَلَيَّ كِسَاءً ثُمَّ أَخْبَرَ عَلَى أَصْحَابِهِ فَقَالْ إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ كَرِيمُ قَوْمٍ فَأَكْرِمُوا. So the Prophet ﷺ, he took his sheet and he put it over me as a sign of respect, as a sign of honor, meaning the sheet that he had on himself, he took it and he put it over my shoulders as a sign of respect. And he turned around to the other companions and he said to them that when an honorable person comes to you from an honorable group of people, then you should respect him. So we learn from this that when people who have a position in society or they are regarded as respected people in society, then it's permissible to treat them with a certain level of respect that they are worthy of. So this is what the Prophet ﷺ did, and this is what he advised the other Sahaba to do. And this is something which is narrated in another hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ, he was approached by some people and he moved out of his place and he made them sit next to him in an honorable way, and some other people came and he let them sit in a normal position. So the Prophet ﷺ was asked about this issue and he said that you should treat the people according to their status. So قَدِّرُ النَّاسِ مَنَازِلَهُمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, that treat people according to their status, and this is what the Prophet ﷺ used to do. And this doesn't mean that we are not all equal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there is a certain level of expectation that certain people have. For example, if there's a mayor coming or a president coming, then he will have a certain level of expectation, and if he is treated just like normal people, even though he is not being disrespected, but he will feel that his position was insulted because he was not asked or he was not treated in a fair way. So this is the wisdom behind it, and this is what the Prophet ﷺ did for Jarir ibn Abdullah by putting his sheet around him and telling the people that when any honorable person comes, you should treat them with respect. So then the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Jarir, أَدْعُوكَ إِلَىٰ شَهَادَةِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. O Jarir, I'm calling you towards this issue that there is only one Allah worthy of worship and I am the Prophet of Allah. وَأَنْ تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ, and that you should have iman on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and on the last day. وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ, from on predestination or qadr, whether good or bad is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتُصَلِّي الصَّلَاةَ الْمَكْتُوبَةِ, and you should pray the fard and the obligatory prayers. وَتُؤَدِّي الزَّكَاةَ الْمَفْرُوضَةِ, and you should give the zakat which has been made obligatory upon you. فَفَعَلْتُ ذَلِكَ. So Jarir ibn Abdullah says that I used to do this whenever I heard from the Prophet ﷺ, I did it and I put it into practice. فَكَانَ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ لَا يُرَانِي إِلَّا تَبَسَّمَ فِي وَجْهِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he used to see me after that, he always used to smile in my face. Meaning, he used to be pleased at seeing me whenever I used to visit him. So we see from this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he's giving the da'wah, he is calling towards the main themes and the main beliefs that every person is supposed to uphold and the main obligations that a person is supposed to implement. And what happens with a lot of people, they tend to do, when somebody comes and asks about Islam, we tend to get into the nitty-gritty and the fine details, and the person goes away even more confused than he came. So it's very, very essential to stick to the main things that a person is supposed to believe in, and particularly after a person takes the shahada, to make sure that they know what the main things are, and then slowly, slowly they work their way up and learn more and more as they go along. The next riwayah, it's narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِمُعَاذِ بْنِ جَبَلَ رَضِيَاللَّهُ عَنْهُ حِينَ بَعَثَهُ إِلَى الْيَمَنِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was sending Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu to Yemen, he told him, إِنَّكَ سَتَأْتِي قَوْمًا أَهْلَ كِتَابٍ فَإِذَا جِئْتَهُمْ فَادْعُهُمْ إِلَى أَنْ يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. You are coming to a people who are the people of the book, meaning they're Jews or Christians. The people of Yemen, there were Christians mostly there, and some Jews also. So when you come to them, then call to them that they should bear witness that there's only one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Prophet of Allah. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لِذَلِكَ. If they obey you in that, فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتٍ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ. Then tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon them 5 salats every night and day. So see the sequence. First and foremost is iman. First and foremost is the iman. Once they have iman, then the next step is the salat. Not before that. If they obey you in having iman, then the next step is you teach them about salat. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لَكَ بِذَلِكَ فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. And if they obey you in that, then tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fard upon them a sadaqah, which is taken from their rich and returned to their poor. Again, the next step is after they implement salat, then make them understand that also from their wealth, money is taken and distributed amongst the poor of the community. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لَكَ بِذَلِكَ فَإِيَّاكَ وَكَرَائِمَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. And if they obey you in this issue, then beware of taking their most beautiful wealth. Meaning, when you are taking sadaqah, make sure that you don't take something which is, you know, very high class, meaning like a camel, that a person is obliged to give, for example, a camel in zakat. Don't take the most expensive camel that he has, and also don't take the most menial camel. Take something which is kind of middle, in the middle path. And don't take the best of the wealth. Why? Because that is going to become a burden upon them. That this guy came, he's the tax collector of the government, and he took the most expensive thing that I had. So the Prophet ﷺ said, don't do that. Only take something which is kind of middle quality, so that you don't become a burden upon the people. And then the Prophet ﷺ said something which is very, very important. He says, وَاتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. And beware of the dua of the person who is oppressed. Because between that dua and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no hijab. There is no barrier between that and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It goes directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether the mazloom is Muslim or non-Muslim. Remember, he is sending people, sending Mu'adh to where? A non-Muslim society. He's telling him, don't do any type of zulm or oppression. So all of this issue about Islam spread by the sword and people were oppressed, it basically, is out of the window, because the Prophet ﷺ told people that don't do that. Don't make any type of zulm upon anybody, whether that person is a Muslim or a non-Muslim, because even if a non-Muslim who is in the state of zulm, he makes dua against you, that dua will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we learn from this riwayah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to teach people to also give dawah in stages and not basically become burdensome upon people. The next hadith is narrated from Abu Na'im, who narrates from Hawshab the Zalim. He says, "Lamma in azhara Allah Muhammadan sallallahu alaihi wasallam in tadabtu ilayhi minan nas fi 40 farisan ma'a abdishar." When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emerge, I responded to him from some people, from 40 horsemen with a person whose name was Abdishar. So he says, the rawi of the story, he says that when the news of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to me, I went with 40 horsemen, and those 40 horsemen, amongst them was a person whose name was Abdishar. فَقَدِمُوا عَلَيْهِ الْمَدِينَةِ بِكِتَابِ. They came to Medina to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with my letter. فَقَالْ أَيُّكُمْ مُحَمَّدْ. And he said, which of you is Muhammad? قَالُوا هَذَا. And they beckoned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قَالْ مَا الَّذِي جِئْتَنَا بِهِ. They asked, what is this thing that you've brought us? Meaning, what is this thing we're hearing? This religion or something, what is it? فَإِيَّكُ حَقًا اتَّبَعْنَاكُ. If it is true, then we will follow you. قَالْ تُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَتُعْتُ الزَّكَاةِ وَتَحْخِنُ الدِّمَاءِ وَتَأْمُرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. The Prophet ﷺ responded that you should pray the salat, give the zakat, stop bloodshed, you order people to do good, and you forbid them from evil. Again, the very basic things that those people needed to hear. And remember, when the Prophet ﷺ sometimes used to give advice, he used to give advice according to the people that were in front of him. And in this situation, the Prophet ﷺ said, تَحْخِنُ الدِّمَاءِ, that you should stop bloodshed. Maybe these people that came, they were people who used to fight and have warfare. That's why the Prophet ﷺ put this condition to these people, that you should stop bloodshed. فَقَالَ عَبْدُشَرْ إِنَّ هَذَا لَحَسَنْ مُدَّ يَدَكْ أُبَايِعْكَ. So Abdushar says that indeed this is beautiful. Stretch out your hand so that we can pledge allegiance to you. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مسمك. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, what is your name? قال عبدشر. He said, عبدشر, meaning the slave of evil. Slave of evil. So he had a bad name. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, لا بل أنت عبد خير. You are the slave of خير, the slave of goodness. You're not عبدشر. So the Prophet ﷺ had a habit, whenever he used to come people across people with bad names, he used to encourage them to change their names. And this is something that we as Muslims, it's a very, very important thing to name our children with good and beautiful names, with the hope, inshallah, that those names will affect them and they will follow according to what the name demands. So here the Prophet ﷺ changed his name to Abd Khair instead of Abd Shah. And the Prophet ﷺ, وَكَتَبَ مَعَهُ الْجَوَابَ عَلَى حَوْشَبْ ذِي ظَلِيمٍ فَآمَنَ. The Prophet ﷺ sent a letter back with these people to حَوْشَبْ ذِي ظَلِيمٍ, and he also became a Muslim. So again, in this riwayah we see the Prophet ﷺ giving da'wah with very, very basic things, with very, very fundamental issues that the people could implement. Another riwayah, it's a riwayah of Bukhari. It's narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He says, قَدِمَ وَفْدُ عَبْدِ الْقَيْسِ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فَقَالْ مَرْحَبًا بِالْقَوْمِ غَيْرَ خَزَايَا وَلَا نَدَامًا. A group came from Abd al-Qais to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he said, welcome to a people who are coming without any disgrace and without any remorse. Meaning you're completely welcome here, and you're not going to be disgraced, and you're not going to be upset or sorry that you actually came here. فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنْ مُضَرْ. O Prophet of Allah, between us and between you, there are mushrikeen from Mudar. وَإِنَّا لَا نَصِلُ إِلَيْكَ إِلَّا فِي الشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ. And we cannot come to you except in the months of haram. So basically what they're saying is that between us and between you, there are mushrikeen who are always fighting, and who there is always bloodshed between them, and we don't have a safe passage to you, and we can only come to you in the month of haram, meaning the Ashur al-Hurum, the 4 months in which the fighting was prohibited even in pre-Islamic days. So when the fighting stops, we can come to you. But what we want from you now is to give us such advice that will be sufficient for us so that we don't need to come back to you again and again because of this bloodshed that takes place between us and you. فَحَدِّثْنَا بِجَمِيلٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ إِنْ عَمِلْنَا بِهِ دَخَلْنَا الْجَنَّةِ. So teach us or tell us some beautiful advice that if we were to do it, then we would enter paradise. وَنَدْعُوا بِهِ مِنْ وَرَائِنَا. And also we can give da'wah to those people who are left behind. We can teach those people that are left behind. قَالْ أَمُرُكُمْ بِأَرْبَعٍ وَأَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْ أَرْبَعٍ. I'm ordering you to do 4 things and I'm forbidding you to do 4. الإيمان بالله شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وصوم رمضان وأن تعطوا من المغانم الخمس. He said that you should have iman with Allah and bear witness that there's only one God, one Allah, and to perform the salat, give the zakat, and fast in the month of Ramadan, and you should give from your ghanaim, meaning the spoils of war, 1/5. 1/5 should be given in charity into the Baytul Mal from your ghanaim. And the 4 things that I'm forbidding you from, مَا يُنْتَبَذُ فِي الدِّبَاءِ وَالنَّقِيرِ وَالْحَنْتَمِ وَالْحِنْتَمِ وَالْمُزَفَّتِ. So the 4 things that I'm forbidding you is there are 4 kinds of pots or utensils that the people used to use in the days of Jahiliyyah, and they used to use them to ferment the alcohol. So the Prophet ﷺ said, don't use those utensils anymore. Don't use those utensils. Okay? And the purpose behind that was so that people don't have flashbacks. That, you know, the days of alcohol, you know, when a person is an alcoholic, anything that could lead him back towards alcoholism was dangerous. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said that don't try to eat or try to use these utensils that in the days of Jahiliyyah used to be used for fermenting alcohol. So don't use those anymore for Nabeen. But this ruling was made mansukh later on when people became used to the fact that alcohol is now forbidden and they had left it completely, and any use of these types of utensils then became permissible afterwards. This was only the beginning stages when people might fall back into the trap of alcoholism. So these types of utensils were basically, you know, gourds, what we call kaddu. There's a type of a gourd which is hard on the outside, and you take it out from the inside and make it hollow, and you can cook the inside. And then when you have emptied it out, that becomes kind of like a pot. Pumpkin or these types of gourds that are, you know, that are hard on the outside, and those people used to make them into pots. And sometimes if you go to these stores like Pier 1 Imports and these things that sell decorative things for your household, you will find these pots which are made from those gourds, and basically that's the origin of it. Okay, so the Prophet ﷺ told these people that you should stop these things. And according to another riwayah, the Prophet ﷺ told these people, فَحْفَظُهُنَّ وَدْعُوا إِلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ. Take care of these things, and also the people that are left behind, give them da'wah towards these things. Again, the Prophet ﷺ gave very, very basic advice, and you know, if you could imagine, the advice they asked for was that tell us something that will get us into Jannah. Give us the advice that will last us for a whole year, so that we don't have to keep coming back to you, and that advice should take us into Jannah. But the Prophet ﷺ gave very simple advice. Simple, short and sweet, and it wasn't a huge lecture that would last them for a whole year. Something that they could remember and implement, something very, very simple. The next hadith is a very beautiful hadith, and I'll finish off with that. The Prophet ﷺ It's narrated by Alqama ibn al-Harith radiallahu anhu, who says, قَدِمْتُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ وَسَلَمْ وَأَنَا سَابِعُ سَبْعَةٍ مِّنْ قَوْمِ. I came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and I was the seventh of seven from my people. Meaning seven people came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَسَلَّنَّا عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ وَسَلَمْ. We made salam to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَرَدَّ عَلَيْنَا, and he responded. فَكَلَّمْنَاهُ فَأَعْجَبَهُ كَلَامُنَا. We talked to him and he liked our speech. He liked our speech. He liked the way we talked and he liked our attitude. So it's not one-way traffic. Dawah is not one-way traffic. Dawah is also that you are willing to listen to people. The Prophet ﷺ, of course, he is the best advisor, the best teacher, but he listened to the people and he liked what they had to say. So this is wonderful. This is something that we could learn from. It's not that I have to speak and you have to listen to me. The Prophet ﷺ heard, and the Rawi says that فَأَعْجَبَهُ كَلَامُنَا, our speech, he liked it. وَقَالْ مَا أَنْتُمْ. He said, what are you? Meaning, where are you from and what's your background? And he understood that they were very honorable people from the things that they were saying. قُلْنَا مُؤْمِنُونَ. We responded, we are people of Iman. قَالْ لِكُلِّ قَوْلٍ حَقِيقَةٍ فَمَا حَقِيقَةُ إِيمَانِكُمْ. He said, every claim has a reality. What is the reality of your iman? You're claiming that you're mu'min, but what is the proof of that? قُلْنَا خَمْسَ عَشَرَ خَصْلَةٍ. We said, we have 15 habits, 15 things that we have within us that proves that we are mu'mins. خَمْسٌ أَمَرْتَنَا بِهَا. There are 5 that you have ordered us to do those things. وَخَمْسٌ أَمَرَتْنَا بِهَا رُسُلُكَ. There are 5 that your messengers have ordered us to do. Meaning, the people that came to us, you sent them to us. 5 things they told us to do. وَخَمْسٌ تَخَلَّقْنَا بِهَا فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ وَنَحْنُ عَلَيْهَا إِلَى الْآنِ إِلَّا أَن تَنْهَانَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And 5 things, we've been doing them from the days of Jahiliyyah, and we are upon them right now, unless you prevent us from doing those things, O Prophet of Allah. So 5 things, we've been practicing these things even before Islam, and we feel that they're very good, but if you tell us not to do them, we will stop those things. قال وما الخمس التي أمرتكم بها. The Prophet ﷺ said, what are the 5 things that I ordered you to do? قلنا أمرتنا أن نؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله والقدر خيره وشره. We said that you ordered us that we should have iman in Allah, the angels, his books, his prophets, and in qadr, the good and evil is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال وما الخمس التي أمرتكم بها رسلي. And what are the 5 that my messengers have ordered you to do? قلنا أمرتنا رسلك أن نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأنك عبده ورسوله ونقيم الصلاة المكتوبة ونؤدي الزكاة المفروضة ونصوم شهر رمضان ونحج البيت إن استطعنا إليه سبيل. So the 5 things that your messengers taught us were basically the 5 pillars. Shahada, that Allah is one and there is, he has no sharik, he has no partner, and you are his slave and his prophet, and that we should pray the salat which is fard, and we should give the zakat which is fard, and we should fast in the month of Ramadan, and we should make hajj to the Baytullah if we have the ability to do so. قال وما الخصال التي تخلقتم بها في الجاهلية. And what are those habits that you have had since the days of Jahiliyyah? قلنا الشكر عند الرخاء. That we are grateful when we have ease. Meaning, when we have we have money and we are well off, we should be grateful. وَالصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الْبَلَىٰ. And sabr when we have any problems or trials or tribulations. وَالصِّدْقُ فِي مَوَاطِنِ اللِّقَاءِ. And to be truthful in the places of meeting. Meaning whenever we meet, meaning in buying and selling or dealing with each other, we should always be truthful. وَالْرَضَاءِ بِمَرِّ الْقَضَاءِ. And to be happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for us. Meaning to accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for us. وَتَرْكُ الشَّمَاتَةِ بِالْمُصِيبَةِ إِذَا حَلَّتْ بِالْأَعْدَاءِ. And to not be happy even if our enemies are afflicted with problems. Shamata means that when you see somebody, he's afflicted with a problem, you become happy. This is called shamata. So the honor of these people was such that even if an enemy is afflicted with a problem, don't have shamata and don't be happy. How honorable is that? So, فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فُقَهَا أُدَبَا كَادُوا أَن يَكُونُوا أَنْبِيَاءَ مِنْ خِصَالِ مَا أَشْرَفَهَا. The Prophet ﷺ was so impressed. He said that you are fuqaha, meaning you have fiqh and an understanding, and you are udaba, meaning you have adab and respect in you, and you have such qualities that, you know, these are the qualities of prophets. How honorable these qualities you have. وَتَبَسَّمَ إِلَيْنَا. And he smiled to us. ثُمَّ قَالَ. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَأَنَا أُوصِيكُمْ بِخَمْسِ خِصَالٍ لِيُكَمِّلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ خِصَالَ الْخَيْرِ. I am advising you with 5 more habits. If you were to implement these 5 habits, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would complete within you the habits of goodness. All kinds of khayr and goodness would be in you if you were to implement these 5 habits. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَجْمَعُوا مَا لَا تَأْكُلُونَ. Don't hoard what you are not going to eat. وَلَا تَبْنُوا مَا لَا تَسْكُنُونَ. Don't build in which you are not going to live. وَلَا تَنَافَسُوا فِي مَا غَدًا عَنْهُ تَزُولُونَ. And don't compete with each other in those things in which tomorrow you're going to leave. Meaning that tomorrow you're going to leave all of your wealth and all of your riches and everything that you're competing with each other in. You're going to leave it tomorrow, so don't compete in those things. وَرَغَبُوا فِي مَا إِلَيْهِ تَصِيرُونَ وَفِيهِ تَخْلُدُونَ. And have رَغْبَة, meaning turn towards that place towards which you are heading and in which you are going to stay forever and ever. So these are the 5 khisal that you should implement, and this will complete in you the khair and goodness. So we can learn so much from this riwayah from the Prophet ﷺ, which was that first and foremost, the goodness in people that people had even in pre-Islamic times or before they become Muslim is something that should be appreciated. It's not something that should be rejected. The Prophet ﷺ said, "An-nasu ma'adin kama'adin al-dhahab wal-fidda." The Prophet ﷺ said that people are like mines. That, you know, what is a mine? It has gold and silver inside it, but you have to dig and find those precious things that all people have. So people from all different types of cultures, all different types of backgrounds, have different qualities that we should all appreciate and learn from. The Prophet ﷺ was so appreciative of the habits of these people that came to him from so far away, that he called them fuqaha and udaba, and he said that you have within you habits of prophets. So culture by itself is not something that is rejected by Islam, as long as it doesn't clash with Islamic principles. All of us have cultures. We have an Indian, Indo-Pak culture, we have an Arab culture, a Moroccan culture, Tunisian culture, Somalian culture, and all of these cultures have within them good qualities. And we should be appreciative of those qualities, and we should, you know, learn from each other's qualities. And the Prophet ﷺ, what he did, he appreciated the fact that these people, even from the days of Jahiliyyah, they had such wonderful things within them and wonderful aspects of their culture that he praised them for it. So this completes the story for today, but there are varying riwayas about this story that we've heard, with just a few differences in wording. I won't go into those, but again, the whole gist of the subject today was keep everything simple, keep da'wah simple, and concentrate on the obligatory things and on the main things and let the person who is learning about Islam grow into it rather than enforcing things upon that person to a degree that he finds that it's becoming cumbersome and burdensome and he basically rejects Islam altogether. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what is intended.